Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program, Very Much. Here are some of the stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Friday, November 5th, 2021. The Sudanese military leader releases four ministers arrested during the military takeover in Khartoum.
Abdullah says there is no reason to release some and keep others in detention.
And 10 people were killed in tribal violence in Jonglei State.
It was just between the white army youth. These are the two people clashing among themselves. And that lost a lot of 10 people.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in Jonglei State's Akobo County say 10 people have been killed and several others wounded in an ongoing intercommunal clashes between two sections of a militia group known as the White Army. The state police commissioner says police are trying to stop the violence but are finding it difficult because the young men are heavily armed. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Garwich Reth Deng, the Akobo County Commissioner, says the conflict started as a disagreement between two young men over a loan in the Dengjog area on Tuesday. Deng says one man borrowed an unspecified amount of money from another and failed to honor the deal. He says when the lender went to collect, the borrower claimed he had no money and insulted him, so the lender shot him dead. Deng says a group of clansmen from the dead man's side of the community then went on rampage and killed two people from the other side. And the fighting escalated, leaving many dead in a crossfire.
The incident had happened between two sub-clans called Kiwar and Kiwanjang. And those two sub-clans, they share a place called Wichbozwanjang. Then it was just between the White Army youth. These are the two people clashing among themselves. Then that lost a lot of 10 people, including women also. One lady was killed, and 9 people also who are men have been killed, plus 4 people wounded.
Deng says he has reported the incident to Jonglei Governor Dine Chagur and is waiting for the state government to intervene, adding that young men in the area are armed to the teeth. He says the police force in the area is unable to stop the violence.
For me, just to report, then because he's the head of the state, he's the one who will see the modality that he can use. But the only thing that my recommendation is to do security arrangement. The only thing that will serve us, that will serve our entire community to get this gun from the hand of the local youth, then we cannot do it now. Unless when the security arrangement has been put into place, that's whereby the local youth will fear with the government.
Major General Joseph Mayana Kohn, the state police commissioner, says police are trying to end the violence but are finding it difficult because the young men are so heavily armed.
The challenge is because, possession of the small arms by the civilians pose the danger. Always when the civilians are fighting among themselves, it's very difficult to interact. But it was to stop them unless something heavy also is done.
Simon Hoth-Dul, the state local government and law enforcement minister, said his office sought intervention from the military and organized forces.
The army and the whole organ of the security, they are now working with the leadership of the community leaders that are involved, because he was the only family and he has really scattered to different clans. And I was knowing what happened, and the reason and the root cause was not even defined.
Dul warned the communities not to take the law into their own hands because the conflict would escalate and destroy a community.
We need these people to refrain from the issue of the believing in killing or believing in guns. When you want something and you will want to bring it out because you have a to have a power. That's not the issue. The issue must be a law. We have a country now. And we have a country, we know that this thing will not finish without even law and order.
The Office of the United Nations Commissioner for Human Rights said in a recent report that military and political officials in South Sudan support well-armed militias in the Greater Jonglei region and must be held accountable for fueling community-based violence that killed more than 700 people between January and June of last year. The United Nations mission in South Sudan has repeatedly called on the South Sudan government to hold to account not just those who committed the killings and abductions, but also local chiefs and military and political leaders who fueled the intercommunal violence and supplied weapons to local militias. For VOA News, I am Deng Gai Deng in Bor, Jonglei State.
Some leaders from Rajaf community in Juba County want President Salva Kiir to include them in a committee newly appointed to address rampant informal settlements and land grabbing in the area and around the capital Juba. One resident says indigenous people know more about land matters in the area. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Rose Polino, a member of the Rajaf community, says it appreciates Kiir's recent decree appointing a committee to address land issues in the area. But she says her community is disappointed that the committee that the president formed does not have representatives from the indigenous community.
We welcome the degree, but we need the inhabitants of the people. You cannot imagine that. For instance, in Tokiman, when there is a chief of Tokiman, there is another chief from Lulubo or from another locality to come and represent the inhabitants which are there. Because these people are the people who knows about that part and particular of the land.
Paulina says her community learned recently that the new committee visited parts of Rajaf recently. She says instead of speaking with the original inhabitants of the area, they met with people who settled in the area illegally but responded as though they were original inhabitants. She says members of her community also learned that the committee plans to conduct a social survey, something she says her community opposes.
After 3 or 4 weeks, we were surprised to hear that a social survey is going to be conducted. So the committee which the president has formed, it has a terms of reference. That terms of reference does not indicate that a social survey is going to be conducted. And if there is a land grabbing, you cannot go there and make a social survey. They are supposed to see the facts on the ground and what is the cause, the root causes of this land grabbing.
Juba Mayor Callisto Ladu says he is not part of the committee, but is aware that the community opposes the planned social survey. He says people should understand the roles of the committee before complaining.
They are doing good job. They have now reached to the level of social survey. And by social survey, it is not the distribution of land. This is what we need to put categorically clear. They are going to see the places which are grabbed. They are going to identify the people who grabbed the land. What have they done on the land? Because they are compiling report that they will submit to His Excellency the President after the completion of the period given to them. So for those who are saying the committee is now distributing land, it is now transferring the ownership from the communal land to individual lands, and that this is not the task of the committee. So committee has done nothing wrong. Committee is trying to file all the facts.
Ladu says he is aware that land disputes are common in Juba, but points out that land grabs are punishable by South Sudan's law. He advises the public to follow the right procedures to acquire land.
You want the land, apply. You have money, buy. You don't buy, you don't apply, you rent. And be peaceful with the people. This issue of taking laws into our hands and trying to impose things on people is causing even us as a government problem. In this way, people now say like, why is the government quiet? If it is like that. So the government is not quiet from the top leadership up to the local government. That is why the president formed the committee. And soon issues of land grabbing will be issues of the past because of the political will that the government has.
Paulina says the long-term solution to land disputes is for the government to invest in housing and employ many surveyors who can help demarcate land and allocate it to people with legal ownership documents. Paulina also advises the government to ensure that spaces reserved for uses such as playgrounds are protected from land grabbers. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
A senior official at the Ministry of General Education and Instruction is refuting claims by some youth from Tonj East County who accuse the Minister of General Education of depriving pupils in Tonj East County. The undersecretary in the Ministry of General Education and Instructions, Kuyok Abol Kuyok, says no areas were deliberately left out during the distribution of examination papers in South Sudan this year.
We had our exams, primary school examination, on the 8th of February 2021. Exams have to be taken, conducted in a particular environment, in a particular procedures, security procedures. So we send examination to examination papers to Tonj with the security personnel because they were the ones responsible for the exams. And we learned that. And that in one of the centers in Tonj East, there was a communal conflict. And the security personnel in Tonj advised us in the ministry that we could not conduct exams in a place called Romage in Tonj East County. So the ministry set and the National Examination Council, they set the Secretary for National Examination, and they decided to suspend exams in that particular center. And that was not the only place. There were also other places, you know. There were also other places that had a similar situation in Jonglei, where we also suspended exams. Now, what happened in this particular place, somebody managed to smuggle exams in, okay? But, of course, the conditions were not met. The conditions for to have a secure examinations were not met. So we disregarded, I mean, we thought that was not a right procedure, given the advice that we got from the security personnel in Tonj. This was discussed at a very, you know, very high level. We even consulted the vice president for service delivery cluster, and we concurred that we should suspend exams in these particular places.
So you are telling me that the decision not to deliver exams papers in some parts of Warab State was due to security. It was a recommendation from the security and not the Ministry of Education. Is that correct?
Yes. It was. It was a recommendation from the security personnel in Tonj. Who said that there was a communal fighting in this particular place? So you cannot conduct exams when there was an insecurity, prevalent of insecurity in the area.
Could you give us a list of places that missed exams?
It was not only this particular area in Tonj East. As I said, there were other seven places in Jonglei State. They also missed examination. But of course, we take this very seriously. We had to give them an alternative examination, and that alternative examination was conducted on the 15th of February, just a week later. In all these places, they had exams just a week after that when the security situation was addressed, and the students, all the candidates sat, you know, and the papers were marked and the results were released together with the other students. So there is nothing that we were disadvantaging a particular group. We don't do that in education. We take out politics in education. For example, this minister that they are now disparaging, the other day was very keen to make sure that we conduct proper assessment in all the areas of Tonj East that are going to benefit from a project called Outreach that is going to pay teachers incentive for primary schools in this. And she was telling us, you know, area by area in this particular community that we should go there and assess those particular schools. So we don't have politics in education. And in fact, now the results are out and these students have passed. We should celebrate that instead of, you know, just fighting in an empty room.
It appears like the Ministry of Education has to clear its image by telling the public.
John, yeah, I think the Examination Council is going to publish the names of the centers and the names of the students that sat in this particular center or centers, and I hope that will really clarify things. But the point I want to make here is that the future of these children is our responsibility, and we take it very, very seriously. We don't deny anyone opportunity to go to school. We, at the moment, we have flood in the area, and we are really concerned about schools being closed because of flood. That should worry us, you know, more. And we don't want to cause another problem. So we don't do politics. This is their right. This is their human right. It is their constitutional right that these students must be educated.
That's Kuyok Abol Kuyok, the Undersecretary in the Ministry of General Education and Instructions. He spoke with me from Juba earlier today. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Some Sudanese political parties and civil society activists have welcomed the release of four civilian leaders who were detained during last week's military takeover. The activists called the release a positive move towards building trust. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
In a decree announced on the state-owned TV and radio Thursday evening, General Al-Burhan released Hamza Al-Balul, the former Minister of Information, Ali Jiddu, the Minister of Trade and Investment, Yusuf Ad-Dai, the Minister of Youth and Sports, and Hashim Hasab al-Rasul, the Minister of Telecommunications. The four had been detained since October 25th. 10 other political detainees remain in custody, including SPLM North member Yasir Arman, who was serving as political advisor to Ulster Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus by phone from Omdurman, Mahasin Abdallah, a member of the Umma National Party, welcomed the release of the four detainees, but said the military must release the others. Abdallah says the Umma Party will never engage in any political dialogue with the military if they continue detaining civilian leaders. Abdallah says there is no reason to release some and keep others in detention. She says the military claim that the remaining detainees have charges against them. They should tell the public what these charges are. The whole world is witness to what the political parties say in the media. It was an exchange of bitter and constructive statements. So why should they be held in custody? Abdallah asked. On October 25th, General Al-Burhan, former head of Sudan's Sovereign Council, dissolved the cabinet and suspended articles of the constitutional declaration. He accused some political parties of excluding the military in taking part in the transitional government. Abdallah says party leaders are worried about the current constitutional vacuum in the country and says the military should be accountable for any situation that results from their actions. She urged Sudan's military leaders to restore the transitional government, or she says the people will continue to resist any kind of military government imposed on them. Abdallah says if they continue with their plan to form a government, the Sudanese people and the political parties will continue to resist. This will definitely lead to more arrests and detentions as it happened on October 30th. She says, we are not going to keep quiet, but will continue resisting any move to impose a government on the people. Asad Tahir, a member of a local NGO, Community Empowerment for Progress, also welcomed the detainees' release, saying it will help in rebuilding the trust that has been lost in recent days. At-Tahir says, we support any move to release all political detainees because the revolution was not meant for people to return to the stage of arbitrary arrest and detention. He says, as a civil society, we demand the immediate release of all political detainees without exception. At-Tahir says civil societies are monitoring the situation with deep concern and are hoping military and civilian leaders engage in talks to end the current crisis. He says Sudanese civil society groups support any regional or international mediation to end the ongoing political crisis and will not tolerate military rule. At-Tahir says, as the civil societies, we welcome all mediations and initiatives that are currently going on to find amicable solution for the crisis. But he says, we categorically and on serious note refuse any attempt by the military to take over the power from civilians. We will continue to resist any coup attempt, and Sudan will never return to another authoritarian rule after the Great December's Revolution, At-Tahir says. General Al-Burhan has said he will establish an independent government of technocrats and complete the structure of the government before the end of this month. Western leaders have urged Sudan's military leaders to quickly restore the civilian-led transitional government without preconditions. For VOA News, I'm Michael Atit in Khartoum.
From Khartoum, we move to Ethiopia. A former university professor and historian specializing in the Horn of Africa says the Tigrayan military advance towards the Ethiopian capital Addis Ababa could mark the end of Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed's government in Ethiopia. Professor Gerard Prunier says the Ethiopian military has disintegrated and that plays into the hands of rebels who are well armed. Prunier says the current shuttle diplomacy in Addis Ababa by Jeffrey Feltman, the U.S. special envoy to the Horn of Africa, will not stop the rebels from advancing on the capital of Ethiopia. He says other rebel groups could form alliance with the Tigrayan rebels.
And let's talk about the other warring parties or warring groups in Ethiopia. The Oromo Liberation Front looks like the TPLF have been appealing to the Oromo group to join them in the fight. What will be the impact of this march towards Addis if the Oromo Liberation Front joins in?
Well, first of all, it's a little bit more complicated than what you say. It is not the Oromo Liberation Front, which is a political organization and doesn't have an army. It is the Oromo Liberation Army, OLA, which has seceded from the OLF because they are a fighting force. They are, a military outfit. Now, are they centralized? Are they well organized? The answer is no. The Oromos are the largest minority in the country, the largest group, about 38 million people, which is not quite a tribe, it's a people. There are many countries that doesn't have 38 million population. But these Oromo are not very well organized, and they are not very centralized. So the solution for the TDF would be to say, we have now, we can occupy Addis, but we don't. We don't do again what we did in 1991, which led to a dead end. Instead, we asked the Oromos to take Addis and change the government, and we will join in a broad conference to decide what can be done. The problem is that the Oromos are not very unified. So it is very difficult for the Tigrayans to say, okay, we are very careful, we don't rush things, we don't take Addis, we let the Oromos, whose country it is, because Addis Ababa, they don't even call it Addis Ababa, they call it Finfine, which is the Oromo name. They can take it because this is their country, and we are going to respect their presence and then negotiate with them. The negotiation is not between the TDF rebels and Abiy. Abiy is a wasted case. The negotiation would be between the Oromos and the Tigrayans. The problem is which Oromos. You know, I just said that the OLF and the OLA were not the same thing. But even within the OLA, the OLA is not a unified organization. It is more like a federation of regional militias. So this is a very difficult question for the Tigrayans. What would they do if and when they win the war?
Talk to me about the shuttle diplomacy, the U.S. A special envoy for the Horn of Africa is in Addis Ababa. President Uhuru Kenyatta has talked about the need for dialogue. Talk to me about the dynamics of this shuttle diplomacy.
It's actually very dry, and it's unlikely that it serves any purpose for the time being. Once the shooting stops, yes, perhaps. But right now, both sides want to go to the bitter end. Abiy says we should all die defending Ethiopia. This is what he calls Ethiopia. Basically, Ethiopia means his government. And the Tigrayans don't say anything, but it is clear that they want to go till they win. So the question is, how will their victory take shape? The shuttle diplomacy, I'm sorry, is not very useful.
Any prospects for peace? Because the African Union has been calling for dialogue. Do you see Abe listening to them or the TPLF listening to them?
The TPLF will not listen, that's for sure, because, you know, their people are starving and they want to blow this government off the ground and have revenge and also bring food to their people. Abe could tactically say that he's ready to negotiate.
That's Professor Gerald Runier, an historian and expert on the Horn of Africa. He spoke with me from Paris earlier yesterday. We'd love to hear your opinion about issues in our news. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. Bida Bukuli from Mvepi Point says, I see Salva Kiir forgives the rebel leader and the rebel leader forgives Salva Kiir. But we as refugees are suffering. Food has been reduced. No proper medication. No proper schools, and we are in a rocky area where children are getting injuries because of the stones. So we need to come back home by next year, February 1st, 2022. Bantur Kwang in Juba says, what has been agreed upon by the lawmakers is not effective at this time, because we are talking always about graduating the unified forces who currently are in various training centers across South Sudan. Unfortunately, those who are calling themselves lawmakers came out with dead matter instead of speaking about how to graduate those who were held in the training centers. After that, they can call for disarmament from the hands of the civil population. Kondaki Ibrahim from Sudan says, hi VOA team. Allow me to pass my best regards to you for your tireless efforts to connect all people across the globe with the latest information. Sudan has now turned into a hell to some low-class Sudanese, and the superpower countries are just watching. Why not apply what was applied to the Libyan president? That would be a second lesson to dictators in Africa. Emmanuel Akol Aro from Juba says, hello VOA. In regard to yesterday, November 4th, the arrest of 14 suspected criminals in Juba who possessed 90 million fake US dollars and 400,000 South Sudanese pounds, I want to thank our security organs, especially the Operation Division of the National Security Service, for that great job well done. Money laundering might be one of the factors leading to the loss of our local currency value against the US dollar. Therefore, I would like to suggest that those criminals must be taken to the court for trial without delay, and if they will be found guilty, then death penalty or life in prison will be their reward for crimes committed. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate your comments. Keep them coming.
Thanks for taking time to tell us how you feel about issues in our news. That's all we prepared for you. This Friday, we now leave you with the song Junubia by Mawa.
Me feel this girl loves me for real. Every day she let me know she's never gonna let me go. She just told me, boy, I love you. I don't wanna spend another day without you. For better, good, rise or fall. Every day she wants me some more. The best thing ever happened to me.
We have been listening to Mawa with the song Junubia. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us into your vehicles, homes, and phones. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers, because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Mara bishukuru rabuna uwajibula na biniade kuliya mara bishukuru rabuna uwalimu ana mabiniade biniya meskin ugiyafa.